This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty. Joined now by the host of The Drive, Carrington Harrison.
How much you think you're getting from the casino in Topeka to perform, though, Carrington?
Bob, thanks a lot for inviting me. Mac has been trying to have me come on for quite some time, and I said, you know what, right before the draft seems like the perfect time to join you guys' show.
Yeah, man.
We were talking about Flo-Rida before.
Florida,
yeah. Yeah, I said he's performing at the White Sox game. Soon you're like, oh, he's performing at the Royals game, too. I'm like, oh, so he's doing the ballpark circuit.
Yes, he is going to be in Kansas City. I'm very excited to see him. Bob, if you could only listen to Flo Rida or Pitbull for the rest of your life, which one would you pick?
Boy, both are on my workout list. Probably Flo Rida.
You're getting gains to Pitbull?
Pitbull. It's easy to work out to, you know, when you're running, you know, in 3-4 miles a day.
No,
it's
like
you got to get something to kind of block. I can't listen to sports radio.
I thought Pitbull moved to Barrett Sports Media. So I have a question for you because I asked this for Jay Binkley. Yes or no, Shador Sanders in the first round?
I'm starting to trend no.
Mm-hmm. In the first round now.
I'm starting to trend no. I feel like because of supply and demand for quarterbacks that used to be second-round picks, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, like we kind of knew like there was a range that they could go, that I feel like now because the contracts have gotten so big, those guys have been pushed up to the late first round. The thing that would just scare me about Shador is the physicals just don't blow you away. He's not incredibly fast. He's not big. He doesn't have great arm strength. It's like, what are you drafting? If you're drafting for intangibles, that's not a guy I'm using the 9th overall pick on. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some questions there. I mean, I think the smart money is probably on the back half of the first round because I think the value of having that option for the 5th year is normally what pushes teams in that. It's just such a big financial windfall. But in actuality, he's probably worthy of like the 43rd overall pick.
Yeah, but I think it also goes back to desperation, too. Teams are so desperate because, as Denny has said for 25 or 30 years, however long I've known him, baseball doesn't need to expand. It needs to contract because there's just not enough good starting pitchers to fill out rosters right now. And that's kind of where I am with the quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe we just need to get rid of teams because there's not enough good quarterbacks right now in this league. And so people get desperate. And if there's somebody out there that may be good, people are going to fall all over themselves to take that guy in the first round, as opposed to taking a better player. Like Cam Ward going number one overall, I think Abdul Carter by far the best player in the draft, but Tennessee so desperate to need a quarterback, they're willing to take a lesser player at that position of need, and that sets you back even further, I think.
Yeah, I think there's like a lot of things off of what you just said. I would say number one, I think we have seen quarterback play diminish as I think offensive line play is worse now than it was 10, 15 years ago. I also think like we have convinced ourselves that a position that touches the ball 300 times is not important and interchangeable. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think what's going to hurt Shador is most of the teams in the league either have their quarterback or feel like they have their quarterback. Like what teams going into this thing do you say they absolutely got to get a quarterback? It was like maybe four teams The Giants have to get one.
Do they though? Because you could say they've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. They don't need to get one this year.
So like, if you're putting the Giants in that category, if you're putting the Jets in that category with Justin Fields, like the teams that need a quarterback, it's like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Tennessee has the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to hurt him more than anything is most of the teams that you would think in theory are kind of right there on that fringe, like a quarterback like Indianapolis and Anthony Richardson. I don't think he's the answer, but I also just don't think that they're using
they
a high
Daniel
resource.
Daniel Jones, man.
I just don't think they're using a high resource at quarterback. So I think this is just – this is one of those weird years where, A, it's not a great quarterback class, and, B, even for the teams that, like, are desperate for needing a quarterback – there just aren't that many of them, so I just don't think that's going to push the market up.
See, I just think Pittsburgh's the only one that needs a quarterback because they literally don't have a quarterback, right? Cleveland, they just signed Joe Flacco. Who was the other team? Oh, you still have Will Levis down there in Nashville if you want to use that. Like, Pittsburgh literally has nobody to play the quarterback position for them. I think they're the only one that truly needs to draft a quarterback.
I don't know why Cleveland just doesn't go get Kirk Cousins. It just makes all the sense.
Because you have Joe Flacco, though. I don't understand that one.
I guess I've just for me with Kirk Cousins, though, like you have Kevin Stefanski. They got the relationship back to Minnesota. He's not going to start in Atlanta. It just all of the leaves to me just seem to be in the direction of Kirk Cousins to be traded to the Cleveland Browns.
Not a lot of talk yet, just a lot of smoke screens. But I give you the number over or under 3.5 trades in the first round.
Under. I don't think there's many teams that are willing to trade up in this. I also don't know if. So, like, if there's not a lot of teams that are not willing to trade up, then obviously there's not a lot of teams that are willing to trade down. I just don't think there are a lot of players in this draft class that people feel like they have to go get this year. I think it's a big indication of how they already feel about this draft class. There hasn't been a single trade yet. Normally, somebody has moved from 7 to 2 in this year's draft class, and we all know who they want to go get. I just think it's going to be kind of hard for a team at 12 to justify, all right, well, we're at 21. We want to move up to 12. Like, who are you moving up to 12 to go get? So, yeah, I think the first round's going to be pretty uneventful this year. I just don't think this is the offseason for it.
Do you think that nobody's moving because the talent level just isn't worth moving for? Like, you don't really have that true, like, oh, my God, we've got to have this guy to change our franchise?
Yeah, I think what hurts this draft class is, I would say, the most important positions on the field, there are very few prime superstar kind of players. If quarterback is the most important position on the field, Cam Ward is a good prospect, but probably would have been the 5th or 6th quarterback taken last year. If Shadur's the 2nd quarterback taken, and we're debating if he's a first round pick or not, that tells you where we are on quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on Abdul Carter. I think he's the best pass rusher in this draft class. Who's the 2nd best pass rusher in this draft class? I would say there's a pretty big gap between what I think Abdul Carter can be and whoever you think that player is. Tackle this year.
Yeah.
You don't think there's that franchise left tackle. There's not that Joe Alt this year. There's not that Penei Sewell this year. So some of the like premier positions that you would trade a future first round pick for, or you would package your 21st overall, your 2nd round pick to move up to 12. I just don't know what position you're moving up to get them. I actually think there's only 3 stars in this draft class. I think it's Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and Ashton Jeanty. Those are the only 3 superstar prospects. Right. Now, other great players might emerge from this draft class for sure.
Right, like, there'll be a Travis Kelce in the 3rd round, Tyreek Hill 5th round type of player, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Or like the year that Eric Fisher was the number one overall pick. DeAndre Hopkins was the 21st overall pick. Ended up being a really good wide receiver in the league. Like, yeah, there's a possibility that those players exist in this. Mm-hmm. But heading into it, there are only 3 stars in this class, and I just think this class is just uneventful. Now, next year's class, I think, has a chance to be really good, but this year's class just isn't that.
Yeah, we're talking to Carrington Harris of The Drive and getting his NFL draft insight, which all these NFL draft interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, Salvation Army. We had a conversation earlier. Do the Chiefs need to draft a tight end this year?
That's a great question.
Because do you think Travis is washed?
Tell you what, Carrington, Travis is washed. You're right, Rob. So, Salvador Perez is too.
I'm not saying that about Salvador Perez. I want to point that out. You said that. I did not say that about Salvador Perez.
That was Rob's take, right?
I'm going to go with no, I don't think they need to draft a tight end. I have been preaching this offseason that they need to be younger and more explosive. I would say the biggest disagreement that I've had with our text line is – I think the text line blames the offensive line for why they lost the Super Bowl. I don't blame the offensive line. That's the same offensive line. They won 7 consecutive games with that same offensive line. I think some of it was just coaching. I think we saw in the first Super Bowl they lost, I think Andy is slow to make the necessary adjustments to help the offensive line.
I think Andy was shell-shocked on that Super Bowl Sunday in New Orleans. Like, right away, they were beat from the first play of the game.
I think their core infrastructure, I think I've never seen Mahomes have that kind of body language for as long as he had in the game.
Right.
I don't know where Kelsey's head was in the game. It was just a really weird thing. I do think that this offense, I maybe think that fans have this part wrong. I think explosive plays come from explosive weapons around your quarterback. That I understand. The Chiefs have the coach. The Chiefs have the quarterback. But they've also gotten worse at running back since Patrick Mahomes has been here. They've gotten worse at wide receiver since he's gotten
here. Well, I think overall they're much better at wide receiver. They don't have the number one guy, right? The guy who can't be an adult in life. They don't have that type of guy playing wide receiver. But overall, core wide receiver, I think their group is much better than it was when you just had Tyreek Hill running around.
Yeah, but I mean, when Mahomes started, when he won his first MVP, they had one of the 5 best running backs in the league. Yeah. They had a prime Travis Kelce, a prime Tyreek Hill, and at that case, like, Sammy Watkins is your fourth option. It's a really good
fourth option
now,
yeah,
in hindsight. So I want to see the Chiefs get back to having explosive weapons and explosive players. I've been banging the drum for running back. The Chiefs don't have a single running back that's under contract for the 2026 season. Like, it's time to start over in that room.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. I'm going to jump in, and I'm sorry, but like, just talking to some people over the last couple of weeks, like, they're ready to get back to 2018 style of offense. So if that tells you anything going into the draft, I don't know if it does or it doesn't, but I know they're itching to get back to that kind of that bombs away style, you know?
Well, I mean, if they're itching to do that, then I would say that they need to draft a running back, I would say, in the first 3 rounds. I think we are going to see multiple 1,000-yard rushers come out of this year's running back class. I think this running back class is actually, I think it's the best group of position. Like, if running back was a premier position in the league, the first round would be super exciting because 6 or 7 of them would come off the board. But people just find running back to be pretty interchangeable. I also want to see them go get another wide receiver. To me, if you're kind of banking on Hollywood Brown staying healthy this year, Rashee Rice coming off of ACL, what does that look like this season? I want to see them just pack more explosiveness. So tight end, I mean, I wouldn't be against if they got a tight end, but I want to see them take either 63 or 66. I want to see them take a running back. And I'm fine with them taking a mid-round flyer, a fourth-round flyer on a wide receiver. Like, that's kind of the one thing that Veach has never done. Like, you look at kind of other teams in the league, they're like, they'll spend that fourth or fifth round pick, and maybe that guy doesn't turn out to be a star, but he ends up being a pretty productive D-Rob. DeMarcus Robinson, kind of. He can have 500, 600 yards receiving. Yeah. They've never drafted that player since Brett Veach has been here. I like to see them pick up that player.
Do you actually think they're going to pick at 63 and 66, or do you think that's going to end up being a package where they trade those picks?
I think they make one of the picks and probably move down with one of the other picks. Like, I could see them using the second round pick, and then they try to turn 66 into, there's a team that wants to move up to the top of the third round. They move back from 66 to 71. They try to pick up, like, this team doesn't have a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Right.
So, like, they kind of have a void where they're not going to make a selection. I could see them trying to use one of those picks to try to pick up a couple of picks in that range just to give themselves more chances at the dartboard.
What do you think they do at 31?
I think they're going to go offensive line if it's available. I think that they are in a very unique position where they can kind of look ahead to next year. There isn't any position at 31 that they need to draft a starter for this upcoming season.
Right.
Like, not a single position. Like, I mean, it'd be great if they got a pass rusher at 31, but I don't think they're finding a pass rusher at 31 that you think starts for them week 1 of the season. So I think they're in a position that they can start to look ahead to. What are we going to do next year when Juwan Taylor is gone? Are we going to spend a lot of money to refill that right tackle position? Or are we going to draft Josh Connerly today, have him redshirt for this upcoming season, and then next season, best case scenario is Jalen Moore ends up working out, Kingsley Suamata-Iyo works out, you've already got your center and your right guard, and now you got a 23-year-old right tackle that's been in your system for a year, all of your offensive linemen are under the age of 30, That's a really good offensive line that you kind of built.
I love that theory. I'm like getting excited thinking about that theory because that is easy. That is pretty good. But I would go the opposite route for you. I think they're going to go defensive line because Chris Jones being up there at 31 years old. And you know they always draft a year ahead, which is the Juwan Taylor thing as well. But I think you go defensive line because it is so loaded. I think like top 30 of the top 100 people are saying are defensive linemen, right? So I would go that route just because I know eventually Chris Jones is going to be one that falls off the books and you're going to need to replace him too. So same theory, just different side of the ball.
Yeah, my question would be, are they drafting a defensive end or a defensive tackle? Because I think they mean two completely different things.
Yeah.
To your point about D-tackle, if they're drafting somebody to put alongside Chris Jones and you get that push from the interior, if they're drafting another defensive end in the first round, it tells me everything I need to know about Felix Onyedike-Uzomah. It tells me everything I need to know. Like, in that situation, when does that guy get on the field? Because you got a Minnehu, you got George Karlaftis. You have to factor in this first round pick that you just got factors into the mix in some capacity. Like, we kind of gave Felix that redshirt year when he first got drafted. He essentially got two redshirt years. We're in the middle of his contract. At this point, there's no reason to think they're picking up his fifth year option. You haven't played enough to even consider them picking it up. We're in the middle of it. It's time to see what he can do. Or they drafted a nice feel-good story that was really cool for the draft, and they got to light the fireworks, but now it's time to really address this need of they need another defensive end on the opposite side of George Karlaftis.
See, I'd go tackle. That's where I would go on this one. I think they're kind of weak on the interior of the defensive line right now.
Who do you think is under the biggest spotlight for the draft team-wise?
It's a great question.
Gracias.
Golly, I'm trying to think of who that is.
Like, I think Baltimore is up there.
No, I don't think it's Baltimore. And I think Baltimore is kind of one of those teams that they're going to make one or two picks, and you're thinking, that's going to work. You know, like a couple years ago, they drafted Patrick Queen. They drafted Kyle Hamilton. Then you're like, how did the league let the Ravens get Kyle Hamilton? Like, you know this is going to work for
them.
The
league let him get Lamar, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who that is. You know what? I will give you one interesting. I think it's the Cowboys, actually. Okay. I think the Cowboys have one dynamic skill position player, and that's CeeDee Lamb. I think they have to come away with at least two other ones.
A lot of smoke from Dallas yesterday, too, but trades are going to happen, you know?
So, like, if you're them and you put McMillan on the opposite side of CeeDee Lamb, and then you grab one of those running backs in the middle tiers, like, all right, you kind of got, hey, Dak's coming back healthy. You got a decent offensive line. You improve the weapons and the pieces around them. So, yeah, like, thinking on the fly to answer your question, I actually think it's Dallas. I think Dallas needs to draft impact offensive starters, skill position-wise. Yeah. I think it's them.
I think the Giants have the worst draft pick in the history of drafts this year for a number of different reasons. Number one, there's nobody there. I mean, you'll probably get Abdul Carter, but you need a quarterback. But you're also allowing the people that you're going to fire after this season to run this draft, right? So how are they supposed to go into this draft as a head coach, GM, knowing most likely they're getting fired after this season? So that not only sets your franchise back for this year, but it sets your franchise back for the future, because that GM's got to be looking at it going, I ain't drafting for the future here. I'm drafting for the right now. And that means you can miss good players that could potentially help you in the future.
I mean, so isn't the play then, to go with what you're saying then, isn't the play, if you know that your job is on the line, you take Abdul Carter with the third overall pick, and then you try to get back into the first round to take Shedeur Sanders. Because the best thing you can do, or you draft Jackson Dart, the best thing that you can do to keep your job if you're the Giants is you need to win seven games this year with a young quarterback with some promise that people feel good about.
But is that guy going to play with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston both being there on the roster now? See, it just gets progressively worse when you peel back the onion on that.
Or what you could, I mean, I don't think Jameis really factors into it that much. They're not paying Jameis anything. It's like a 2-year, $8 million deal. Yeah. They can get at it out of the one. Or, I mean, you basically do what Pittsburgh did last year, where Pittsburgh had Justin Fields and they had Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson starts the year. Let's say you start 3-3. You need a spark now all of a sudden. You put Shedeur Sanders in or Jackson Dart. You finish with a little bit of promise there. I mean, that's probably it. I am with you. It does kind of feel like the Giants coaching staff is in the same place that the Bears were last year. Yeah. That you kind of realize, like, all right, Matt, this thing needs to get going in the first 10 weeks of the season, or you are not going to be around for too much longer. And then ultimately they went in a different direction. It does feel like Brian Daboll, if you're like pinpointing right now, who is the most likely coach to get fired first? He's near the top of the list.
We asked a question earlier before we get you out of here. If you could see any artist that's no longer alive, who would it be?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was the lead on the text line.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Is there anybody, there's another possible answer?
We're white guys, so okay. You know we're going to be like.
So was Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's a great answer. I went with Frank Sinatra.
Was he white?
Yeah, I don't think I would go see Sinatra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I
said
yeah.
Prince.
Yeah, I would go see Mike.
You would get laid after Prince. Maybe. Michael Jackson, I don't know.
I might get pancakes, too.
Yeah. What do you got coming up on the drive today?
I have absolutely no idea.
Love it. Good. That's a perfect answer. Way to go, Josh, with that question.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea.
Somebody on the text line did say, Carrington, is this the earliest you've been up in quite some time?
No. I'm up by now.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like, yeah, I'm up by now. A human.
Yeah, no. This is just my normal. This is like my relaxed time of the day. Yeah.
This is when you sew?
No, sometimes. I kind of listen to podcasts during this time. I'm like cleaning up. I'm like getting ready. Rob and I normally talk around 10:30. Rob kind of gives me the.
Carrington, who do you think is washed today? I don't know, Rob. Who do you think is washed?
I can't believe I came on here.
Let's go with Salvador Perez today. He's looking washed, Carrington. All right, Rob, fine. Him and Kelsey together at the John Knox Village next.
I would like to say, and no one will give me credit for this, and that's perfectly fine. I was the first one to call it with Travis Kelce. The first one. I saw it before everybody else saw it. It was so
I don't want to be first to that party.
I'm proud to be first to the party. I was the first one to see it. Like, hey, I don't know. This guy looks a little different to me.
He almost had 1,000 yards last year.
No, they didn't have anybody else to throw it to for the first 7 weeks of the season. When's the last time you see Travis Kelce run past somebody?
Never. He always shimmies right and goes left.
Yeah, he's a Ram. He used to jump over people and look athletic.
Yeah, true. Well, time it waits for no man.
Right now, he looks like Gronk on the Buccaneers.
When are you calling Mahomes washed? 2 years?
No, he's got way more time than that.
Did you say he's Gronk on the Bucs? Yeah, so we got another Super Bowl in
us. That's who Kelce is right now. Kelsey's Gronk on the that's who he is.
Wow, that's great. Well, hey, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight. And we'll see what the Chiefs do at 31 at the landing.
Of course, man. I appreciate you guys.
No doubt about it.